Following the Azerbaijani attack on Armenian territory last week, the situation remains tense on the border villages in Armenia. My guest is Len Weeks from the Areni border village to talk about the situation on the border villages. Len, welcome to SBS Radio's Armenian program.
Thanks for having me, Vahi.
Len, could you describe what happened when the Azerbaijanis attacked last week?
Well, we sited here in Areni in Vayatur province, which many listeners will know is a vulnerable part of Armenia that connects the sort of Yerevan area to the Sunik area. And for some years, I've been warning about the problem of focusing on Sunik and forgetting about Vayatur. And unfortunately, as I sort of predicted, the enemy made advances through the Arpa River Valley. Fortunately, not here in Areni or Khachik, which is the other border village close by, but from the other end of the Arpa River Valley, which is the area near Jemuk. Of course, they made advances in other areas, but the most serious advance was near Jemuk, where unfortunately we lost many young soldiers. And I would like at this point just to mention that I'd like to dedicate this discussion to our neighbour's son who lost his life in that event, Grigor Karakhanian. His father just got the news today that his son was DNA identified. So this is unfortunately the normal cycle of events that's happening here. Like, we're not within a few kilometres of the fighting, but we're certainly affected by it. We are 1.5 kilometres from the boundary, from the border, however, so preparations are being made for any further incursions. Apart from seeing the military ordnance, which we can't obviously talk about, and the preparations, we are trying our best to continue our work, to continue our daily lives, and not let the enemy's actions affect us too much.
Is the village empty right now, or people are still working?
Yes, that's a good question. So I can't speak for Jemuk. We know that most of the hotels there are unfortunately closed, and I presume a lot of people have left there. But here in Areni and Khachi, life goes on. Of course, many of the young men are rotating through the defensive positions, so some are not available. But and we see movements of, you know, as I said, items that we can't discuss on the media. But apart from that, you wouldn't know that something was going on. Oh, apart from the fact that unfortunately the wine festival has been cancelled, so that's a big blow to the economics of the local area. So there would normally be preparation with the wine, the famous Areni wine festival, but that's all stopped now.
So the situation has affected the tourism in the region.
Yes. And what's really upsetting for us is that we know that there are literally hundreds of thousands of visitors in Yerevan. Some people who have obviously come to help, some people who are purely tourists, some people who are migrants from Russia or other places. But we hardly see anyone coming in this part. And that's, for me, a real shame. And one of the big problems of this nation's future, because there seems to be this focus on Yerevan all the time and hardly anyone coming to invest or to even do some business or to help the people in the vulnerable rural areas. And, of course, without the rural areas, Yerevan will be surrounded. So I personally, when I go to Yerevan, that very chaotic city, and I see so many people there and nobody out here where people need to be, I get a little bit depressed. This is the reason why we came to Areni, Vahe, not just because it's beautiful and there's history and culture, but because we wanted to be here and build the economic basis of the Upper River Valley and stop this depopulation.
Yeah, on that subject, since you moved to Armenia early this year, how your project is proceeding?
Well, we obviously some of our workers are affected. You know, they have to go on duty and things like that. And And we, and aside from the war efforts and that sort of thing, we've had problems. Your listeners will, of course, have heard these sort of stories before. You know, we've had corruption, we've had theft, we've had all sorts of things. So we've had to terminate our main builder, and we've got all sorts of problems with paperwork and things like that. So we're continuing, however, Ray. You know, we're still determined. We're about 95% in the internal furnishing, so we're quite close, but we will not be able to open because of the paperwork here. Not our fault. Local and central government are quite incompetent, in my view. So we probably not open till next year sometime. As for the museum, the work continues on that, although it's had to slow down again because of incompetence. The builder built across our border, our boundary, by a meter. I told them that he was, but they have a little trouble listening here sometimes. It seems to be a trait here, unfortunately. So even the museum work had to stop for a while. But I'm pleased to announce that the Khachkar of all Armenians that I designed to set an example of how Armenians should be together, united at this time. That's been completed. It's in Gumri at the moment and just waiting for the suitable time to transport it. So those who are interested in our work, they can go to arenilodge.com. That's all one word, arenilodge.com. And you'll find links there to the Arani Open Air Cultural Museum that I was just mentioning. And we do have a GoFundMe, which is assisting the monies that we also put in as a family to try and create. And the reason why that's very important is because this region, unfortunately, depends upon the wine festival for their business, for their all-round business, basically. Hardly anyone comes except for during that week, mad week. And the museum is supposed to be an interactive face-to-face entity which allows people to experience Armenian culture, and so it will hopefully attract people all year. So that's how we're doing at the moment. We're not going anywhere. I'm determined to try and stay the course unless things get too hot. But, you know, we're still here, and the villagers, they often come to us and say how pleased they are that Arthur Samansi, a foreigner like me, is still there, hasn't run away. And so they're a little bit surprised. And I wouldn't say there's any panic or anything like that. And while I just mentioned about calmness, might I just mention to your listeners that we know that the guys, both males and females on the front lines, that there is a calmness, there is a greater preparation, there is, we're aware of much better organisation with communication, command and control. And that is one of the reasons why the enemy was stopped at Jimok where they were. So I know there's a lot of angst outside in the diaspora and the friends of Armenia, but I can assure you that that people here are not in panic mode. They're of course concerned, and they of course would love as much support as possible, but from my perspective, there's not the same chaos as in 2020.
Len, are the schools open in the region, on the border region?
I will have to ask my wife that. By the way, it's my wife's birthday today, and it's my own. We didn't celebrate because, as you know, this is not a very auspicious day. but I'll just ask her. Amine, are the schools open? I think they are because we saw school children, right? Okay, so I just confirmed because we did see school children. So as I said, you know, life is going on as normally as possible.
Anything we missed?
I'd just like to mention a few quick points about what's going on. I can't, of course, talk politically because that's for Armenians to discuss. But what I will mention to the listeners, this is very, very important. There's a lot of talk at the moment about enacting a so-called peace treaty. Listeners should understand that actually enacting a peace treaty under duress or under force is actually illegal under Armenian law, because Armenia ratified the Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties, and Article 52 of that convention forbids peace treaties, obviously, under duress. So I just wanted to mention that. The second point I wanted to mention about the situation is that There's some talk about mutual recognition of borders, but I've yet to understand how that's possible when the borders aren't actually demarcated. So what mutual recognition would you have? The third point I wanted to mention is that, and I think most people know this, but the outside world do not, that the status of Azerbaijan was not sovereign until 1991, so they actually don't have any territorial integrity claims before that, yet they try and fool the world that they have some claim on Artsakh. I think it would be appropriate for the diaspora to focus more on the status of Azerbaijan than the automated rights of Artsakh, because then everything is clear. And fourth point, you know, even if the Azerbaijani border surrounds Artsakh, which we should emphasize to the outside world has not been part of this recent conflict, that doesn't automatically mean it's part of Azerbaijan. I think there's this assumption that because it's the border of Azerbaijan surrounds Artsakh, that it's part of Artsakh. But, you know, Vahi, there are exclaves like Kaliningrad or even Nakhchivan, for that matter, that are not part of Azerbaijan. Lesotho is a country surrounded by South Africa, as you well know. So that's an important point. The status, the actual status of Artsakh is actually, according to the UN, disputed. It's not part of Azerbaijan, as Azerbaijanis would have you believe. UN resolutions do not determine the status of territory, no matter what people say. Certainly, Turkey is busy ignoring 62 of them with Cyprus, so we can understand what the status of UN resolutions are. The Minsk group has been empowered to determine the status of Artsakh, and so that means that the formal status is that the status has not been determined. So with those, I think, 5 points, Fahi, I would really, what frustrates me a little bit is that the Armenian community do not speak clearly to the world about those 5 critical points, and they allow the media, for whatever political reason, to keep saying incorrect things that gives the world the impression that actually Artsakh is separatism. And we all know that with the current situation in Ukraine, that the word separatism is kind of like a dirty word. Right, you don't want to have anything that even looks or smells like separatism. So that's why it's very important for people to understand this. Artsakh is not separatism. Artsakh has those automatic rights. So I think I covered everything there, Vahe. If anyone wants to have clarification, I'd ask them to go to my blogging channel, Straight Talk from the Homeland, where I discuss all these things, and would invite them to discuss on that channel.
Thank you, Len, for all the information. All the best and keep safe.
Thank you so much, Vahi. All the very best.